Gunja, Joint, Doobie, Doo, Chronic, Ace, Lobo, Loco, Loveboat, Bud, Buddha, Blunt, Pot, Pat, Pin, Chiba, Chiba, 420, and Hashish, or Hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come here, man. Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
Chris Valley.
Yo.
Yo, good afternoon. Kia ora.
Kia ora, mate. How's it going?
Very well. Very well. Can we share with the listeners our epic adventure this earlier in the day?
You betcha. I've already touched on it, but...
oh, have you?
Obviously, the first thing I'm going to tell everyone is that I saw a seal under a bridge.
Yeah! It was awesome! We were smoking weed at the time! It was even better!
International waters, obviously.
I wasn't as direct, but yeah, that's what happened. there was quite a majestic moment, I think, and the seal was, everything was pretty amicable. The seal was not afraid. It was coming.
Yeah.
For a tug? It was coming straight for us, kind of thing.
Yeah. It came right up. It was very curious seal. Came right up, and we just chilled out and let it do its thing, you know? It was a beautiful moment.
We didn't blow smoke in its face or anything like that, John.
That's sure? What you want
to know, mate. The seal. I don't know which way the seal voted, but I'm going to say probably yes, by the way that it interacted with us.
Definitely a yes voter. But it's things like that that make me love living in Auckland. You know,
true.
We can just pop out onto the harbour and see some wildlife like that. It's freaking awesome.
It's very true.
But hey, as we've touched on before, Auckland does have this very high rate of cannabis arrests, and 10 times the rate. If you were caught in Southlands compared to Auckland, 10 times greater chance of getting busted up here.
Okay.
It's just incredible. You'd think we'd be more liberal, but the police here are actually the opposite. And this is one of the problems with giving them discretion. It comes down to the whim of individual officers to make that judgment and decide whether to prosecute you or not. And this leads me to a big report that has come out that was largely in response. We've mentioned Derek Chang at the Herald a few times over the last few months because he's been really keeping on the police and getting all the data and putting it in the Herald and really holding them to account. Have they actually decriminalised? And if they have, what is that actually meaning? And to fill in, listeners that may have forgotten, in 2019 the government changed the law, the Misuse of Drugs Act, to make it for in the possession and use offence, that they reminded the police they have discretion and said that discretion should be used, and prosecution should only go forward if there was a public interest, right? So that's actually in the law. It's kind of common sense and kind of what they were doing anyway to a large extent, but now it's actually in the law, so it tells them, hey, use that bloody discretion. Well, it turns out, surprise, surprise, when you tell the police to use their discretion, sometimes the arrests go up rather than down. They go up to different groups.
What if I get caught up here and say that I'm from Southland? Is that a good tactic?
Yes. No, that would not work. So what we've got is that...
just a ute full of trees.
That's all data. I've just got to get the data in front of my face here so I can actually read it. So beforehand... we had prosecutions running at 585 a month. They changed the law and it goes to 497. So in my mind, that's not like a dramatic, like, oh my gosh, they're giving everyone a warning now. They're basically, what's that, like 88 people that are getting a warning and the rest are being prosecuted. But actually, so the law says don't prosecute if it's in a public health thing, and if they need an actual help, give them help. Well, it turns out only 66 people a month are being referred to health and addiction services, but they're choosing to continue to prosecute 497 a month.
And the police line is that they are mainly prosecuting on prior offending?
Yeah, so that seems to be how they're deciding whether it's in the public interest. And that's what they're saying in this report. Oh, no, it's got nothing to do with race or where you live or whatever. That's just coincidental. It's that, we're taking into these other things into account. And in fact, age is something they take into account. And if you're older, you're more likely to be arrested. This is actually police policy now. Crazy. So age is taken into account and any kind of prior offending. and basically whatever they kind of make up on the spot. So clearly this isn't good enough.
If you're older and you've been smoking for a while, you're definitely going to be zoned in on, because it's likely that you'll have some kind of prior and you're going to look older to the police person. So that's like a...
It becomes self-fulfilling to an extent, doesn't it? And but you know, if we go back to the Law Commission, which in 2011 did a major review of the Misuse of Drugs Act, you know, so we've kind of already been there, we've had the big report on it, and this was the one that Labor, going into the 2017 election, said, we will implement all of the recommendations of the Law Commission's report, and I'm not sure if they've really properly done any, to be honest, but one of those ones is that don't give the police discretion, make warnings mandatory. So it's a mandatory warning. I know people, the word mandatory is a little bit controversial at the moment for some people, but what it means is that it says to the police, you must give a warning rather than being their choice. And so I, in fact, if people want to read more about this, I've done a little blog over on the Daily Blog, and people can look that up. And the other thing, though, that has happened this week, so kind of leading on to that, is the Global Commission on Drug Policy, which is, well, the hint's in the name, it is what it is, but Helen Clark's actually the chair of it at the moment, and they issued a report earlier this week, I think it was yesterday, where they ranked, did a global ranking of countries all around the world, and to actually rank their drug policies. Now, normally, as the Herald has pointed out, normally these rankings, and again, it's all Derek Chen, normally these rankings are based on things like number of arrests or hectares of crops eradicated, you know, that's the kind of metrics, and the countries go, look what we've done, we've arrested more people, you know, and so what the Global Commission on Drug Policy has done is ranked them based on the absence of extreme sentencing, the proportionality of the criminal justice response, the availability of health and harm reduction, access to controlled medicine, such as medicinal cannabis, you know, regardless of other laws, you still have access to it. And that rather than, you know, just burning crops and oppressing people more, that maybe there's some regional development to try and help people, you know, have another source of income or whatever. So that was kind of their basis of the ranking. And New Zealand came out at number two in the world.
Hey.
Incredible. Given what we've just said, right? Like, how is this? And so Helen Clark, bless her, she's saying, well, doesn't actually mean much. We're among the best in a bad bunch. And we shouldn't take this number two as a badge of honour, is what she's saying. And as the Drug Foundation have pointed out, we would actually score zero for decriminalisation. And it's really our absence of mandatory minimums and the death penalty that's kind of bumped us up that list. But also, the analysis didn't include the United States or any of the states in there. Or, you know, in Europe, it only included Portugal and Norway for some reason. It didn't include any other countries. So, you know, we're not being compared to, say, the UK or the Netherlands or Germany or any other place like that. It's only those. So it's a little bit limited holes. In the analysis, I guess.
Yeah. What's next, Chris Fowley? Where are we going? News-wise.
Oh, where are we going?
We've got Jim Belushi. He has obviously moved into cannabis farming. He's cruised off from Hollywood.
Yeah.
And now he's farming cannabis.
Jim Belushi.
That's right. This is Hollywood star Jim Belushi, and of course, brother of James Belushi, John Belushi, sorry, the Blues brother. He's gone from Hollywood star to cannabis farmer, and so he's relocated to Oregon, bought a farm, filled it full of weed, and he's recounting his story in the Herald because he's about to have a new TV show called Growing Belushi. So that's a premiere here in New Zealand.
I'd smoke some Belushi.
Can see all his adventures and things. He's saying, you know, they went through a few mistakes and failed crops and whatnot, but now they're growing some of the best cannabis in Oregon. And it was really interesting in this Herald article where it says, learning New Zealand's referendum to legalize recreational use of cannabis did not pass. Belushi frowns before saying, the fear around it comes from a lack of knowledge. That's one of the reasons I did Growing Belushi. I'm trying to build some confidence in cannabis, showing how it's growing, what it is. People are suffering, whether it's PTSD, traumatic problems, loss of a job, divorce, illness, death. My brother John, he believed anyway, but John Belushi actually had a brain injury similar to what rugby players get through his football career in high school, and that had led to his use of opiates, which eventually took his life. And in fact, you know, he's saying medical cannabis would have been had been around, then that original Blues brother might still be with us.
So this is screening on TV too, you say, Chris?
I did not say, but that's good on you for guessing. It's on Bravo.
Bravo, okay.
And that actually premieres tonight, 9:30 p.m. And then every Thursday after that.
Okay. And great to have a show like this on television because it kind of softens people up. Change a few attitudes.
I wonder how many, like, if we could do a poll on, like, all the farmers that have all the stations of land, how many of them would be keen to grow hemp and or cannabis on their farms if it was legal?
Most of them.
Would they? I don't know.
I reckon.
Do you reckon?
Mm.
I'm surely they sometimes they just buy a cow and it shits on their foot and they're like, fuck, this sucks, man. Not meant. You know, or like heaps of cows fart at once. You know? No, can't be that good. Mm. And like real early in the morning, the plants don't care what time you muck around with them. You don't have to get up here real early.
It's certainly, hemp on that topic is certainly a good mopping up of excess nitrates
and
things like that. So certainly for dairy farmers, you know, planting riparian strips of hemp along your where things might drain, and then feeding that hemp to the cows as an animal feed, you know, it's got the dual use. So there's a lot of farmers that are very interested in it, that's for sure.
This is a serious issue because there was an article the other day about the nitrates in the water supply, which is going to be causing a certain number of bowel cancer cases. For real.
Mm.
And this is the way it is because there's nitrates in the water supply going into people's homes.
And if I could just slip in there, cannabis use, particularly the THC, is correlated with a reduction in bowel cancer. So all the farmers and the rural people grow the hemp to mop
cancers,
it up and then eat it and take it themselves as a preventative to stop themselves from getting the bowel cancer.
Yeah.
Not necessarily work. Hey, I'm not promoting a quack cure here, but I'm saying it is correlated with it. It's something to do with the cannabinoids resetting your gut and your immune response to what's going on down there.
Yep.
So, well worth looking into.
Mm. Right on, Chris.
Now, what's happening up at the hemp store, mate? Was there any other news stories, or you want to crack into a little...
I think we've covered the week's news for the local media there, I think. But at the hemp store, we're back open again. People are coming in, all masked up and friendly-like. It's been really cool to see people, out and about and enjoying the sunshine and stuff. And we've got a little sale on, actually, to welcome people back to come on in. Just a secret code. If they come on in and say, gimme 25, it's gimme 25, it's 25% off. And you can do that in the shop. If you come into the hemp store and just say, gimme 25, we'll do that. And if you're on our website, you chuck it in the code saying at the checkout, and it'll give you